Suspense Radio. Coming to Intense Radio Monday, February 16th, an interview with Ron Campbell of Monstrous. Stand up now, I am Be sure to tune in starting at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Intense Radio.
Igniting the revolution, we are Intense Radio.
What was
Mic
that?
Mic check! How y'all doing this evening? Wow. This is Brian with Intense Industry, your host for the evening. And I'm just warming my voice because we have got one heck of a show lineup for you this evening.
Yes,
we're gonna have.
Oh,
yeah. We're going to have industrial music, techno
Very
music,
cool.
and more industrial music.
And not just Ron Campbell from the band Monstrous, but the entire band.
Absolutely. Oh, man, this is going to be great.
We got them online here. We're going to get them on in just a few.
Uh-huh.
Lots of stuff to talk about with them boys.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, why don't we get things started off here with Circle of Dust, Self-Inflict, here on Intense Industry. That was Folds In, King Planet, here on Intense Industry. Now we have our special interview here with Ron Campbell and the rest of the band of Monstrous. We're going to start with the bio on Ron, because that's the one we're going to be talking with most. Drumming is Ron Campbell's soul. Maybe that's why he's always known he would end up something literally monstrous. With an inherent need to bang on something, Ron's pursuit of music began early on. At 4 or 5, I was banging on my mom's pots, pans, and empty Folgers cans, Ron recalls. Seeing Peter, Chris on a live broadcast only further commented on my musical direction. By age 10, Ron was pounding away on his first kit, and by age 16, Ron had made it into the clubs. Those he lists as his influences are Tommy Lee. What is that? Blasilius?
What is that, Ron? Blas? He's reading your bio here.
Yeah, I'm reading your bio, man. Ron, you there?
I'm here.
This name, one of your influences. One of your influences you list on your bio on the webpage is B-L-A-S Elias.
Blasilius,
yes. And finally, Ringo Starr.
Is that coming through?
Yeah, yeah. It can be felt in your playing, but make no mistake, Ron will undoubtedly leave his mark on Generation X. Mr. Campbell, it's good to have you on the air here tonight. Let's do another mic check, make sure that we actually are hearing you.
Yeah.
Say
Mars something. And Don are here, too.
Hello.
There we go.
Yes, very good. Give us a little bit about Monstrous with the start off. When did this thing start out, man?
Well, I don't know that we have enough time for that broadcast.
Well, actually, I had that history of Monstrous, and I was thinking about reading it on the air, and then I saw how long it was, and I was like, "Nah, I'm going to take a half hour to get through this." So I was hoping you could condense it.
Behind the music,
Mel Gibson's working on that next.
That, by the way, is Don, bass player. What's up, Don?
Hey,
haven't seen you in quite a long time. We would like you to come back. Can you hear me, Don?
Hear him.
Can't hear him.
Can't hear him.
I'm just speaking.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. So this thing started off in the 80s, right, Ron?
The idea of it, yeah. I mean, this form of the idea, no. I mean, this lineup, is just a few years old. I mean, Mars and I have been together. Well, actually, Don and I were the first to come together back, what would that have been?
About 92.
92, and Mars came into the picture around 95. But for the three of us to be doing this together didn't come to fruition until about 2000. So, but the idea for this, I mean, goes back to
Bible times.
But honestly, each of the three of us were pursuing this type of a venture. Don was in New Orleans, Mars was in Canada, and the three of us, we're trying to find each other, but could not. Mars had to come to another country, and Don had to leave the Bayou to come up here and find the soulmates to be able to do this project.
He's a Cajun.
Alligator's 2 feet.
Is Don a Cajun?
What?
Is Don a Cajun?
No, hardly.
We're from the Bayou country, though. And Mars came from where? Canada?
Yeah, York and Saskatchewan, which he always describes as a cold hole in the ground up in the very northern part of Canada.
Uh-huh.
Is there, like, snow on the ground up, like, till August up there?
Where it lasts till about March or April, something yeah. like that.
You remember that scene in Rocky IV where he's training in Russia?
Yeah.
Basically where Mars lives.
Yeah. I thought I went to every day dragging a wagon behind.
Now you said the idea and what you all were pursuing, what you all were looking for. What is that you all were looking for? Is that something that goes deeper than just music?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's you can go to any club in any city and hear good music tonight. I mean, it's looking for guys that, you know, I always described it as having the whole package. You know, they had the skills. You know, the image, burden or the yearning in their heart to reach young people, you know, and knowing that they were called to do this. I mean, there's lots of great Christian music out there, but I don't know that everybody that's doing Christian music has been called to do it. You know, I think some people I've heard, you know, speak from a stage and they don't even belong in a band. They should be preaching or pioneering a church or something.
Yep.
And, you know, but I think it's unfortunately gotten to the point to where many times if somebody gets saved and they play guitar, they say, "Hey, I must be called to music ministry," and that's not the case. I mean, but many times they've never taken the time to just ask God, "What's my calling? What was I put on this earth to do for you?"
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess that's. You know, I knew from a very young age what had been put in my heart, and so did the other guys. And I knew that somewhere on planet Earth there were two other guys that played, opposing instruments of drums that shared the same philosophy as me. It was just a matter of the time it took to find them, and you know, I was persistent in that. You know,
so you feel like that this is a calling on your life. It's much deeper than just being a musician, huh?
Absolutely. All the dreams and the stars in the eyes, you know, fell to the ground a long time ago. It's now to the point where, you know, it's all about serving the Lord. And, you know, without giving our ages away, I mean, which we did on the last interview earlier today, but we definitely, when you're doing it as long as the three of us have been doing it, I mean, it's all about ministry, because it's certainly not about, you know, being on MTV Cribs, because we all know in the Christian music industry that's almost impossible.
Yeah, that was something interesting I wanted to touch on, because it is definitely a group of you guys, like you guys, with the talent you all have. You could, if you wanted to, if you were to ignore the calling on your heart, you could go after the money and the fame and the power. Well, okay, maybe not the power, but the money and the fame at least. What is it that drives you to decide to go the way your heart and the Lord is directing you to, and make the sacrifice of not earning the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that you probably would if you were to go out and be a flash in the pan like most groups out there in the secular world?
It goes back to the scripture, you know, what is it worth if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I mean, so what if you're wealthy for a short time here on earth? I mean the Bible promises us 70 years if we're lucky, but
yeah.
70 years. I mean, I know many gentlemen or people that have lived 70 years and they sit there on their dying bed saying, "I can't believe I'm 70 years old. I mean, it just seems like yesterday I was 20." You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the lifetime that we live here is in the scheme of eternity is a very, very short time, and we just want to get to the end of this road and this journey and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Yeah.
Well, and that's the reason we don't go for the money and fame is because we want to see the Lord. We want to make it to heaven, you know, not to necessarily have heaven here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Although serving Him is heaven here on earth.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about Ron Campbell yourself. You know, what's going on in your life? You know, what you up to, man?
Well, I just had a little boy.
Oh, so you're married?
I'm married.
Married and got
married.
Got...
Been married about 11 years. But I got married when I was 12, so that puts me about 21 or something like that. 22 years old only. Larry knows that's not true. But I had a 7-month-old son named Corinthian.
Wow, has it been 7 months
already? Named after basically the love chapter in Corinthians, though we didn't add 13 in there. So, but he is, his name is Corinthian Dale Campbell, and looks a lot like his daddy. And he's already been to his first Monstrous show, and already has his first Monstrous baby T-shirt, and you know, and he's keeping our hands full. I mean, he's Mars and Uncle Don, and I mean, it's just a big family, and every and. You know, it's just a wonderful time. It's a wonderful experience. I mean, you know, I always wanted to have children be a part of this ministry.
Yeah.
And you know, I think for a period of time, my wife and I held off having kids, just kind of seeing, is the band going to get going or whatever. And finally, we just said, we'll be waiting forever. So we have him, and now the band's taken off. So we're like, God knew how it was all going to shake out in the end anyway.
Awesome, awesome. Hopefully he doesn't get into the mosh pits yet, does he?
Does he get into Monsters?
Yeah, well, not yet.
No, the mosh pits.
Mosh pits.
The mosh pits.
I know y'all got to have them at the concerts sometimes.
I like to get hurt.
Well, we're going to do a tune off the album. We're going to do Karma. And Mars, are you there, Mars?
Yeah.
Mars, why don't you, I know you do most of the writing, the lyrically writing, correct?
Yeah.
And so we're going to jump into another tune off the album. We're going to play Karma. Why don't you, can you tell us a little bit about this? What inspired you? How it came about to write this song?
It's a bit of a rebuttal to the theory of karma, and the idea basically is that, you know, the Christian principle of reaping and sowing is true, and that, you know, what we do in this life is recompensed in the next life, but the truth of Christianity versus Hinduism or things like that is that there is only one life. You know, the Bible says that it's for man to die once and then face judgment, you know what I'm saying? So, in a sense, you know, the reaping and sowing part of the karma is true, but they're mistaken in that they think they have many chances, you know, to reap good. And, in fact, we only have one chance in this life. And that's basically what the song's about.
Okay.
There you have it.
Well, we'll come back and find out a little bit more about Mars and Dawn here in just a minute, but now it's Monstrous Karma on Intense Industry.
You have to reap what you sow. You have to reflect on what you sow yesterday. I will reap continually in this life. I will reap continually in the next life. It never stops.
That was Karma by Monstrous here on Intense Industry. And we're back here in the studio. We have a new member of the co-host team that's just joined us, Gary.
What's up,
it's
Gary?
Good to have you here.
Hi,
check
guys.
That mic there, bro.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Gary drove all the way up from Florida just to be here tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's special.
Right. Zach the Wonder Dog's here, too. You remember Zach, Ron?
Zach?
Yeah, were you here when Gary was living here and Zach was here, the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach's in the studio, too.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
He's 12, so he ain't...
He's a little slow.
He's slowing down a little bit.
I saw you, Gary. I'm going to take over the interview here for a bit.
Okay, go for it.
Last time I saw you, you were in a cast, weren't you?
Oh, has it been that long?
Yeah, I guess I was.
That's 6 years.
That was a result of Cornerstone.
Okay.
That means you haven't seen Gary for 6 years.
Well...
That was...
Don't bring me flowers.
That's
wrong.
That was
Cornerstone 98.
Oh.
I slipped in the mud.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's come, well, I mean, 5.5 years, but who's counting after 5? I don't think I've seen you since 2000, Ron.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, but Larry and I have stayed in touch almost on a biweekly basis, though.
Yeah.
That's special.
Yeah. My Valentine's Day. Yeah. Floral arrangement. I love it, Larry.
Thank you.
Well, Larry, who was it that does most of the writing of Mars?
Yeah, we have the entire band on there. Ron is he's the drummer, and he's kind of like the publicist. Am I correct about that, Ron? Right? And we have Don Williams is the bassist, and he's there. He hasn't. We got to talk with Don a little bit. What's up, Don?
Hey, not
Don's
much.
The bass player, and Mars Allen is really
warm up here.
Yeah. Well, it's not that much warmer down here, believe me. We had 3 inches of snow here over the weekend. Just mostly, actually, the funny thing was the snow was south of the city. And you know, talking about accidents and, you know, 3 inches of snow, the whole place shuts down.
Yeah.
Of course, us northerners, you guys laugh at that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 inches of snow, you guys just...
Had a couple days up here where it was like 8 degrees. And I'm from New Orleans. I don't like that too much.
Well, tell us. I mean, you guys have. You know, I understand this album's coming up on 2 years being out. Correct? Almost 2 years.
You got to talk up a bit. We're losing you.
The album that you have out, Zealots in the Land of Nod, it's coming up on 2 years being out. Correct?
It's what?
It's been released for almost 2 years.
July.
No, August 1st.
So in August, it'll be 2 years out?
No, August 1st, the album came out.
Oh, of this, of last year, 2003?
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it ain't been out long at all.
No, it's as old as my son. It came out the same weekend he came out.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyways, you guys have been doing some new writing, correct?
Do what?
You guys have been doing some new writing, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. The new album is already in the works. And don't ask us what the title is, because we're not going to tell you.
Okay. no, we've got our ways of getting some information out of you. We might not be able to get a title, but we're going to get something.
But anyways, have you guys done anything different? I mean, Mars, have you guys taken any progression in the band? You kind of looking at the same sound? Have you done what have you done different? What can we expect?
It'll be. It's definitely going to be a progression. I mean, Supernatural is a good beginning of where we've gone farther from, okay? But with regard to, you know, overall, like, progression with the band and stuff, I mean, that really comes out of our personal walks with the Lord, and just, you know, as he's changing us as men in Christ, you know, the music changes along with us, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, right. The songs on Zealots, you know, represent probably a 7-year span of time with the band where we did our first record. And the new record, you know, will be, you know, a progression from that. You know, and it's going to continue to evolve until the time it comes out. So,
how much time did it take to write this upcoming album?
Well, I mean, I think that'll depend. I mean,
you're still writing it, right?
Or leading, but also just on how Zealots does. You know, the timing of, you know, how we're playing out, and you know, just kind of what makes sense with the record. You know, we would like it to sell as much as possible and get out there so people are familiar with us. But again, I mean, that's really up to the Lord. I mean, you know, he has his own ways of doing things, so we're just asking for his wisdom, and, you know, we'll take it from there.
Well, since you're the bassist, you're the man with the beat on the music, give us an idea, for those of us who've got the Monstrous Zealots in the Land CD and who are going to hear some of the songs from it tonight here on the show, how does the upcoming CD compare musically? You know, is it how's the style? Is it close? Is it a big variance? You know, I know we can't give away too much, but are we looking at kind of the same style?
Yeah, absolutely the same style. But you know, but like I said, a progression beyond that. I mean, you know, we feel that the stuff we have right now is pretty different from what's out there. But what we're working on now, like I said, is much more developed and much better than that, we feel. And, you know, really, we feel like the second record is going to blow the first one away, you know, on many levels. I mean, again, you know, with the first record, we were, you know, kind of learning to work together and things like that. But we've really come into focus with some things. And like I said, the second record will be a lot more focused spiritually, too. You know, with regard to the message that we're trying to get across and stuff. So.
Uh-huh.
Plus, the live show for the second album features us with wearing capes and blood.
I don't know if I could picture that.
This
some little
up...
green ooze, too.
This brings up another question about music style. What would you all categorize yourself as far as a genre? Or is there really a category to put it in?
We tend to say, like, you know, Christian industrial metal because of, you know, we do have a live band with a lot of sequencing and samples
uh-huh.
and things like that, and that tends to be a good category.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the kind of people that like us tend to fit in there. You know, we kind of have a joke amongst ourselves, and we say if if Rob Zombie and you two had had a baby and Ozzy Osbourne bit off its head,
it'd be
monstrous. So.
What kind of instruments do you all use primarily in most of your songs? We obviously hear the guitar in there and the drums. What else?
You know, most bands have diversity amongst the members with regard to influence, but that really doesn't always come out in the music. And if they try to incorporate it, it's pretty hodgepodgey. We feel like we've really, you know, learned, by God's grace, how to blend our influences together
mm-hmm.
and really make it something unique. So,
well, what do you say we do another track off the album? Would you guys like to pick a track? What would you like us to share with the listeners?
Well, I mean, why don't you guys pick one? Really?
All right, sounds good. Let's do Trinity, track 5. I'm sorry, track 6.
Sure.
That sound good? And we'll come back, ask some more questions. And while we get this going, let's invite the listeners to visit Monstrous's website, simply monstrous.com, monstrus.com. They have a great website. Make sure you go check it up. And you can stay in touch with what's going on with the band, where they're playing, order some stuff, order the album, what have you. But here we go, Trinity on Intense Radio.
We're back here in studio with the guys of Monstrous. You guys still here?
Yep.
Got them here back on the phone. Don, you still there?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about Don? You know, what's going on in your life? What you up to? You know, kids, wife, anything like that?
Grief.
Good grief. What's that about? Hello?
How to give you the abridged version.
The abridged?
That'll work.
No, we just got a lot going on. Just trying to promote the CD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can go to your website and order it now. Yeah, why don't you tell us, how is it being distributed? I know you guys were picked up a few places, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
You can get it. Just about any place that sells Christian music, and if they don't have it, you know, on the shelf, they usually have a resource to order it from. Free place online that sells digital music, where you can just download the whole album for a fee. I mean, you can buy it anywhere, whether it's Apple iTunes or Napster, Audio Lunchbox, I mean, eMusic, anything you can think of, you can buy the album.
There's been a lot of people taking it up on their own that we've not visited.
Yeah, I mean,
you can buy it at Tower Records.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great.
And like Amazon.com and places like that?
Do what?
Amazon.com and places like that, too?
Amazon.com?
Haven't yet, I don't think.
I remember, Ron, a conversation I had with you a couple months ago. You said something about it possibly being a hot topic.
Yeah, that's something. There's a distributor that we've been in talks with for probably the last 2 months, and they're saying that we could get it in the, I think there's like 340 Hot Topic stores nationwide, and that's a store they say they can crack for us, and the same distributor says they can get us into Walmart. So
that'd be great. Those two places would would be a big boost for you.
That we've made up to this point is the supply and demand for that kind of an order, because a lot of those places purchase up front. You're talking a lot of units you have to furnish. So, I mean, and right now, without management behind us, I mean, we're kind of managing ourselves. We're just waiting for the Lord to put a few other pieces in the puzzle to where those types of things can be managed by other people and not just us. So, but, I mean, yeah, that will happen.
That's great. That is great. Or they can go, the most beneficial way for you, for the band itself, would them to go directly to your website and order it, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the best and honestly probably the quickest to get it. I mean, yeah. If you place an order, it's shipped usually the next day.
Yeah, so they can go to monstrous.com, monstrus.com,
right.
And you can order up the album. And you get a lot of other cool stuff there, too. You have a whole mall
full of merch,
don't you?
Oh, yeah, it's an awesome website. Take it from
very, very good
websites.
Website.
It's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of merchandise on the web.
Yeah, you guys got some great merch.
Update to the web probably in the next 2 weeks. So there's going to be a lot of new stuff, kind of filling everybody in on what's been going on.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we've met Ron and we've met Don. Ron, you're the drummer, and Don, you're the bassist. And there's also Mars, the vocalist, right? Mars, you here?
You there, Mars?
I'm right here.
Earth to Mars.
Yeah.
Sorry, bad pun.
Gosh.
Mars, what's been going on in your life, bro?
Man, just thank the Lord, and you know, just spending a lot of time reading the Word, and you know, like I was saying before, with regard to the writing and stuff, that really comes into, you know, our personal walk with Him and stuff, and just really, you know, asking Him to change me and show me how to live for Him more effectively, you know, so that I can, you know, pass it on to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Now, on this new upcoming CD. I know your Zealots in the Land of Nod haven't been. Whoa, what was that? Yeah. Haven't been out very long, just approaching the year point. But what's y'all have any idea when the new CD's going to be coming out?
A timeline?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, that really depends on the Lord's leading. But I mean, I would feel, you know, within a year.
Okay, excellent. Yeah,
that would be a good rhythm to release it. But again, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen.
We'll definitely be looking. I know how that goes. You know, you don't know if it's going to take a year or 3 years or happens next week, but we'll definitely be looking forward to that.
I mean, truth be told, I mean, we have it, but we have it more than half finished.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's really more a matter of, you know, effective timing. And again, like Ron said, because we don't have management behind us, we're, you know, we're financing ourselves, so we need, you know, the Lord's wisdom. And, you know, if we would go into the studio again, financing it ourselves, we don't want to, you know, take on debt and things like that. You know what I'm saying? The Lord has a different way, so...
You aren't a Dave Ramsey fan, are you? Do you even know who he is?
I don't think they get Dave Ramsey
okay.
up there. Mars, if you... I understand a while back you had an accident and injury. How is that? Have you fully recovered from that, or you want to feel like talking about that a little bit?
I was lifting weights on a Monday morning, and I'd got past 300 pounds on the bench over that previous, and just had begun noticing some pain on my shoulder, and you know what I thought was a rotator cuff, like a muscle strain, turned out to be a stress fracture. And around it was February 4th was the day it happened. I was doing incline press and my arm just snapped and went backwards, and I mean it broke clean in half. So.
Man.
Woo! Well, 300 pounds, that's impressive.
X-ray,
even if it costs you something.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah, have you, pretty much made a full recovery from that?
But yeah, I'm 100% now. And I've...
Good.
Excellent.
Well, that's good. We, we'd love to have you down here. I've worked on one venue here and still working it out, but boy, I'd love to have you back in Nashville playing live.
Speaking of that, do y'all have any upcoming shows anywhere in the country?
We're going to be playing locally here pretty soon. We can't give any specifics yet, although the website will have it.
Yeah, so y'all be sure to go check the website if you're anywhere in the Ohio area, because Monstrous is going to be playing live very soon there.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to start a full schedule in February, but there was some promotional traveling we were doing. We were in Vegas, we were in St. Louis, and some things like that that we did not realize was going to open up. Now we're at the point to where we're getting ready to look at March and fill that schedule up. In fact, we've got some meetings Friday and Saturday with some different promoters. So
excellent. Well, we'll be checking the website and trying to keep our listeners in up to date on that. Now, I think we're going to go to another song, are we not, Larry?
Yeah, we're going to do Digital Disciple. You want to give a little intro to that, whoever? Any one of you?
You mean like a philosophical intro?
Yeah,
why not?
Well, I mean, the idea basically, in a sense, is, you know, the difference between analog and digital, you know, with, you know, you guys that are older and remember records and 8-tracks and, you know, magnetic tape.
Kids, stop running around the house. You're going to skip the record.
Yeah, I mean, that was, that was called analog, but it was, just, in a sense, a hands-on style of recording. Whereas digital, you know, is a recreation, a replication of the original. And, you know, in the same sense, Matrix had a real world and a false world. We sort of consider ourselves, in a sense, you know, Jesus being the analog savior, and we're the digital disciples, we're the copies of him.
Interesting.
Well, there you have it.
I think there needs to be one more thing added. You know, I was pressuring Mars in the studio to go back and rework one of our older songs and bring it up to a more modern flavor to match the rest of the songs on the album. And he didn't want to do that, so in true Mars fashion, he went home and crafted Digital Disciple in an evening, and we were cutting it the next day. So what you're hearing on the album is really the first times we ever had played the song. So, I mean, it literally was written and recorded, and it was recorded in one night. It was written in one night and recorded the next day. And, I mean, we were figuring our parts out as we went.
Just kind of float around on that, huh?
Yep.
But I'll tell you, I mean, we did an interview earlier today from England, and they love that song over there. They said that the people love Zealots, and for some reason they love Digital Disciple, and some people feel that it's got some kind of Rolling Stones vibe to it or something. But
Oh, interesting. I guess I'll have to list for that.
Jamar's song like that well in one night.
Well, you know, can I make a comment as a fan?
Sure.
I really wish A Gift was on this album. I mean, that was always my favorite song.
Thank you very much.
And I don't want to start up any controversy.
Uh-oh.
One guy in the band that pushes.
Band fight.
Everybody thinks it has a Dream Theater feel to it.
Really? Yeah, it was always my, you know, I mean, obviously, that song was on your demo tape, correct?
Right.
We had Omens of the Age and A Gift.
Yeah, it was Omens of the Age that I had kind of said to Mars I wanted the scene rework it into a more modern feel, and he didn't want to do that. But
maybe the next time. I know when you're financing your own album, you have to put a limit to everything, time in the studio and all that. But
why don't you go ahead and tell all your listeners to email Mars and tell him you want to see A Gift on the next album.
Oh, yeah, okay. Email Mars, tell him we want to hear A Gift on the next album.
Oh, speaking of that, if you all have any questions for the Monstrous, you're going to have to get them in really quick. Sorry we haven't given you this before, but email us at wearelive@intenseradio.com or hop in the, never mind about the chat room, it's malfunctioning at the moment.
Gary's working the chat room.
No go in the chat room. Email us if you want to get a question in, but do it real quick because we're about to wrap up this interview, guys. And here we go into the song. Was it
Digital Disciple here on Intense Industry?
My tongue is
Digital Disciple from Zealots in the Land of Nod. Monstrous on the radio with us right now. What's up, guys? We're going to wrap it up here. We got about 10 more minutes here. And thanks so much for coming on the air with us tonight, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah. Go ahead there, Brian. You're up, buddy. Let's take us down here. Why don't you...
You got the future plans of the CD coming out and some upcoming shows, too. Is there any other future plans for Monstrous?
Well, if POD gets tired of opening up for Linkin Park, maybe they'd like to open up for us.
Yeah, there's a nice idea.
That would be nice. Have they made it through your area yet?
Do what?
Have they made it through Ohio yet? They're going to be here in a few
weeks.
They
were in Columbus last weekend.
Oh, were they? Did you go check it out?
Yeah, I didn't go check it out, but a lot of friends I know did. And, you know, it was one of those things, you know, they were going for Linkin Park, I guess. And when they back, I said, what do you think of POD? And they were like, yeah, they're good. They're cool.
Yeah.
But,
we're going to go there, and we're... Unfortunately, we can't play POD on the radio because of the whole issue that came up last November with you know, ASCAP and BMI. We have to do all independent bands,
right,
or we have to pay royalties. But I'm looking forward to see POD. I was quite honestly, my personal opinion, I was a little let down by the new album. I guess I was expecting a little bit more out of it with Jason Truby playing guitar as a Living Sacrifice guy, but. It's I really like the tracks that Phil Keaggy on. Have you listened to the new one with them?
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah. We were even talking about them before the interview started, and I don't want to really get into a whole bunch on POD, but I do want to.
Yeah.
Say that I think any time you disturb a classic lineup or an original lineup for whatever reason, and I mean there is always relational issues in bands. I mean it is like a marriage of sorts at times, but I think whenever you disturb that. I don't know that it's ever quite the same thing again. I mean, and people have argued this point for years, but I think whether you're talking about a secular band or a Christian band, I mean, there is something inherent in an original lineup of a group that your fans get familiar with, where, you know, certain people relate with one guy and certain people relate with another guy. And I think when you start messing around with that, whether it's egos or whatever that get in the way, I think that's a fragile thing.
Yeah, good point.
Molly.
You know what, guys? I really would love to have you guys down here play, and I'm going to keep the footwork going on that. And
do.
I want to make it happen this summer for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We need
if
to come
not
down
Rockettown,
there.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back here.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here with one more tune off the album. And listeners, you can go to monstrous.com, order the album, check out all the news, order. They got lots of cool stuff, keychains, bumper stickers, you name it, it's there. And why don't we let the band pick the last song? Which one do you want? See, we've done Supernatural, we got Heavy Rotation. We played Trinity, Digital Disciple. How about The Way Home?
That's good to me.
That sound good?
Yeah.
Take us out. And, you know, again, we thank Intense Radio for their continued support, for all of the listeners that have supported the station and Monstrous. And, you know, it's always intense. And we thank you for the time and the spotlight tonight on the band.
No problem.
Guys, thank
it.
You. Thank you for being on.
Bob. Hey, Bebop.
Yeah, we'll say hi to him. He's, you know what, he got DirecTV installed here at the house today, and he's up.
I'm going to see him for a week.
He's up there trying to figure out how to record with his TiVo, so.
No, he's up there really watching TBN.
Yeah. I don't think so, but I think he watches WB at nighttime. So.
Okay. The Frog?
Yeah, he watches, I don't, you know, he's
we
got
have
a
the
show.
Dubba twins down here, man. They're awesome. Pardon me, I'm unmarried, 26, hormones going crazy. They're awesome.
With Benny Hinn tonight, he needs to give us a call sometime in the coming week or I'll that room.
Don, Mars, Ron, thank you so much for having us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Yes, we'll see you.
Go to monstrous.com for updates. Here's the final track off the album. Track 10 from Zealots in the Land of Nod. Here's The Way Home.
Yeah.